So how many of you are ready for Easter? Yeah, well, I guess we're a little out of sync. We're coming up on Thanksgiving first, right? Do we do that? And then Melissa has reminded me before Thanksgiving, what do we have? Halloween, yeah, she's ready for Halloween. She's ready but not ready. She sees the Halloween decorations and gets a little excited and then gets a little scared. So do I. I mean, some of those are getting really realistic. But Easter. I want to take us to Easter for a moment. And my first slide, there it is. Do you remember Jesus was on the cross? He had been on the cross, and his end was near, and he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, I came into the church as an adult, and the first time I read all of that, I was perplexed. I read it, and I thought, wow, even Jesus lost his faith for a moment. Even Jesus succumbed to that dark night of the soul. But I have come to learn that I just am not a very good student of the Old Testament Psalms and scriptures. Jesus would have been, all of his followers would have known them. The Psalms may have been songs that they sang regularly, and they would have known Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy and enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. From the horns of the wild oxen, you have rescued me. Jesus was not lost in faith, but remembering that those temptations and those hard times come, and indeed we can be put upon to the very limit of our endurance, and yet God rescues us from those avails. It clicked for me when I read, they divide my clothes. Remember? Remember it happened? Remember from that bit, from all of this? We don't know Psalm 22 very well. It would not have been in the front of our mind when we hear that in the New Testament, because we tend to want to say, well, the Old Testament's there, but let's just stick with the New Testament. That's where we are. We're Christians and Jesus and Christ in the New Testament. And was it Jefferson that actually didn't even have the Old Testament in his Bible? One of them, doesn't matter. But some of us as Christians will know some of the Old Testament, and some things are pretty familiar to us. Psalm 23, do you know Psalm 23? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Remember that one? How many of you know that off the top of your head? How many of you have been in the midst of something and those words come unbidden? They are in us, just as Psalm 22 was in Jesus and his followers. I haven't done a confirmation class here. We're kind of talking about whether or not that's a possibility. Confirmation is that transition from children in the church to adulthood. It's you grew up when you were baptized, you were part of the church. God was with you. We celebrate you as a preparatory member, but then you become a full member after you are taught some of the scriptures, and that's called confirmation, and you are confirmed in the church and you become a full member. I was teaching confirmation some years ago, and I asked the question. I said, do you think God can hear every prayer that everybody prays all the time? And unanimously, they are all shaking their heads, no. Think about it a minute. Think about what that entails. I was a little bit startled because it's a question that seems to be straightforward and logical, but it is one that we respond to in faith rather than everything else. And I reminded them that God knows all of us and sees all of us, is aware of all of us. Every hair on every head, God knows them. Nalo, I'm glad you're here, because even bald people, God knows every hair. And Vili, every hair. Some of us, Tom, you and I are getting there, buddy. God knows us, every bit of us, and is present to all of us all the time. That was in Hebrews, wasn't it? Indeed, the Word of God is active, living and active, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before God, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare. God knows all, hears all, understands all. The term is omniscient. God knows us. God knows all of us. Now, some of you are thinking about that and thinking, how in the world, how could that possibly be? I mean, that's beyond our imagination, isn't it? How could it possibly be true that God would know everyone's thoughts all at the same time? What was the movie? Jim Carrey. And Morgan Freeman plays God, gives Jim Carrey charge of things for a moment, and the prayers start rolling in. And Jim Carrey answers a few of them, and then he says, send, and his inbox is immediately filled with hundreds of thousands more. So he just says, answer them all, yes. What was the movie? Bruce Almighty. Thank you. Yes, it was Bruce Almighty. If you haven't seen it, well, you can. You got to kind of do it, be a Jim Carrey. But humans, we know. I mean, think about it. There's no way God could possibly comprehend all of the prayers of everyone all the time at every moment. We know this. Humans are aware. We understand things. 1900, humans knew that humans couldn't fly. If God had intended for humans to fly, God would have given humans wings. Ever heard that statement? How many of you have flown somewhere? You know what's even more startling to me is, take a look at not only, you would think, well, you have to find the perfect airplane to make it fly, right? Take a look at airplanes sometimes, the variety of different things that we can make fly. It's overwhelming. And that was what? 1903, right, brothers? 121 years. Look where we are. I've been in the sky. Haven't you? And it's kind of startling. We take it for granted now. It's an easy sort of thing. But we knew, humanity knew. In the 1950s, did you know, how many of you have ever heard of Buck Rogers? Do we have a slide of Buck Rogers? Oh, she's already got it up there. She's ahead of her. It was a little before my time, and my dad refused to get a TV when I was little, so I never did Buck Rogers. But I'll tell you something, it was fantastic. It was called Space Opera. Pretty exciting stuff from what I understand. Pretty silly. And in the modern world of that time, if you were an engineer or a scientist or an aviator, if you said anything about space travel, you'd kill your career. You were obviously a nutcase. It was clear that you were in fantasy land. And then 1957, October 4th. Do you remember what happened on October 4th, 1957? Sputnik. And the United States responded with rockets that fell over. They were called Kaputniks. Part of that voyage. And now... I don't know if you saw the news. This morning I had to revise my sermon slightly. SpaceX caught its rocket. Now, I don't know how many of you are following that, but they're able to launch a rocket into the air, into space, and come back down, and they catch it with a set of chopstick arms on the gantry. It won't be long till there's a little gangway there and a stewardess saying, "Can I see your ticket, please? You're in row 3, bay 6. You think it's fantasy. I do too. It's amazing. I was I knew it was coming, and I am still astounded at what we're doing. Especially when technology like the lights keep doing whatever they are doing this morning. Sometimes we got technology right here, and sometimes it just laughs at us. I hope it's driving you as crazy as it is me. That's not a long trip for me. You knew that. How long will it be, do you think, before you can book a flight in space? Too late. They're already doing it. It's already occurring. They've had a couple of multimillionaires that have booked flights. Kind of funny, the first guy who did it flew to the International Space Station. He was sick the entire time he was there. There's a learning curve going on there. We'll have to get down to it. Surely we'll never be able to travel through space in our lifetime. Surely God cannot comprehend the prayers of all the people. How many people? Stephanie, have you got a picture? There it is. 8.2 billion of us. You know, it's a number I can't comprehend. I can't comprehend a million, much less 1,000 million. A billion people. Could God comprehend all the thoughts and prayers of all of those? How would God do that? I don't know. God knows. God knows how God would do it. Because God is omniscient and God is beyond our ability to comprehend. If we went to 1900 and told them that we were flying people into space, much less flinging them across the continents in airplanes, they would laugh at us and load us in the loony bin. What will happen in another generation? We can't comprehend it. We cannot comprehend God's omniscience. God is great. There have been 2 hurricanes. Nasty ones, hard ones, difficult ones. Puerto Rico is not recovered from, what was the hurricane that hit down there? I don't remember the name. They haven't recovered. How is Tonga doing? I haven't heard a report on how Tonga's doing after the volcano that created such devastation. We're slowly recovering from all of those. So where's God? And if God is, maybe God is only in churches. And yet, Stephanie, if you'd give us the Goshen United Methodist Church. This is actually 1994. But I lift it for a couple reasons. One, it's United Methodist. And a tornado hit the church Palm Sunday morning during the children's procession, killing children, including the pastor's daughter. It might tempt one to say there is no God. Certainly God would not allow that to occur. God would not allow the hurricanes and the devastations and the floods and earthquakes and wars and damage and hatred and division. But God is all-powerful. God can intervene, but you see, this is the world that we chose when we left the Garden of Eden. It's a world filled with life and with death, with joy and with sorrow, with amazement and awe, and with pain from loss. Remember what the scriptures say? God is God, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust. People get cancer. People get sick. People die suddenly of a heart attack. People are also born and people prosper and great gifts happen and God is with all people at all time, able to. And able to touch our hearts, omnipotent, able to do all things. So the scripture from Mark 10. Larry did a good job reading it. This young man comes, the Just a little bit of background history here. This pericope occurs in all the Gospels. I don't know if it's in John, but in Mark is the first utterance, and a man comes to Jesus. By the time it's to Luke, it's a rich man comes to Jesus. By the time Matthew writes, he's a rich young ruler. Nonetheless, this person comes to Jesus, and he says, "Well, which of the commandments is the most important one?" And Jesus recounts all of them. He says, "But love your brother and sisters right up there on top, isn't it?" And the young man says, "Well, I've done all of those things, and I've obeyed the commandments from my youth." Jesus says, "You lack one thing. Take all of your wealth and use it to help some other people. You lack one thing. You have been prospered. Use your prosperity to help those less prosperous." You see, that's a miracle that occurs in humanity. It's a transformation of the being. Have you met someone who is greedy and tight-fisted and they know what's theirs and you better not touch what's theirs? And aren't all of us that way a little bit about some things? And yet opening our hearts and opening our love to be able to say, "Out of what I have, let me help you." No strings attached, no judgment, not out of giving to make you go away, but out of loving you. And he tells the young man, "You lack one thing, give to the poor." And the man walks away dejected. He has all this wealth. Certainly that buys him into heaven, doesn't it? And that was the mindset at the time. Keep in mind that it still hangs around sometimes. People believe that God loves them because they're wealthy, or they're beautiful, or they have gifts and graces. They can sing like an angel or play the piano with their toes. I don't know what else there would be. But all of those gifts and graces, and they believe, "Well, God must love me more than everyone else, so certainly I am prospered by God." And we are prospered, and we have gifts and graces. And do we use them? That's where we sit. And the young man is dejected because he has all this money and he figures, "No, I'm rich, I'm saved, I'm there." And the young man walks away, and the disciples then look around to each other and they say, "If this is true, then who can be saved?" And they were greatly astonished and said to one another, "Who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible. But not for God. For God, all things are possible." Awesome idea. For God, all things are possible, even the transformation of our hearts, if we're willing. God sees all, that's omniscient. God is able to do all, omnipotent. And God is all loving. And God is with us and hears every one of us. How is that possible? It can't be true. We'll never fly. We'll never go to space. We'll never cure smallpox. But things that are impossible are possible. And for God, all things are possible. Great is the Lord. Amen.